We read God's word this evening in the New Testament epistle to Philemon. We read the entire letter together, and our text will be verses 4 through 7. Philemon, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let us pray for God's blessing upon the preaching of his word. Our Father in heaven, we beseech thee to send upon us thy Holy Spirit, that both the preacher and those who hear might be edified and saved through the preaching of thy word. May thy word be faithfully proclaimed. May thy people be benefited by the preaching of that word, and all to the glory of thy great name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our text this evening is Philemon verses 4 through 7. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Beloved, the letter to Philemon is not well known. Philemon was a prominent member of the church in Colossae. If you compare the epistles to the Colossians with this epistle to Philemon, you will see there are various similarities. You have the same people mentioned in both letters. Paul is a prisoner in Rome. And the purpose of this letter, which on the face of it seems to be a personal letter with not much doctrinal content and therefore not much interest for us, but we're wrong. The purpose of this letter is to bring about reconciliation between Philemon and Onesimus. Philemon was, as I said, a prominent member of the church. He was also a master of slaves. He owned at least one slave. And the slave, Onesimus, had run away. Wickedly, he had forsaken his master. And this Onesimus had made his way to Rome, where in the providence and mercy of God, he had come into contact with Paul. He had been converted. And now he is a penitent Christian who desires to return to his master Philemon. And Paul writes this letter to make sure that when Onesimus returns, there will be a favorable reception for him. When I preached this in Limerick, I did a series on this letter, and the theme for the entire series was an object lesson in forgiveness. Really, Onesimus and Philemon are an object lesson in forgiveness. And everything in this short epistle serves that one purpose, which is to bring about reconciliation between Philemon and Onesimus. And that is one of the wonders of inspiration. That explains how Paul addresses Philemon. That explains how Paul describes Philemon. That explains his greeting, his address. That explains how he designates himself, not as an apostle, he will not come with authority, but as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He is seeking by that to draw out of Philemon sympathy and compassion. And he is seeking, in this entire letter, to draw out of Philemon sympathy and compassion and forgiveness and reconciliation toward this miserable slave, Onesimus. And that's why he commends Philemon for his love. He's not doing that simply to flatter Philemon. He's doing this because Philemon is exactly the kind of person whom Paul will expect to show love and forgiveness and mercy toward Onesimus, just as he has done so to the other saints whom he knows. And more than that, he's now going to give to Philemon further opportunity to show his love toward the saints. And that's why he begins really the body of the letter after the initial greetings with a commendation of Philemon's love. Paul's commendation of Philemon's love. Notice first, Philemon's generous love, then Paul's thankful response, and finally, Paul's expectant prayer. Two virtues are present in Philemon's life: love and faith. Philemon's name means the affectionate one or the loving one. And Philemon certainly lived up to his name. He loved the saints, we are told. This is the particular Christian love extolled in the New Testament. This is the agape love. The love which God has for us in Jesus Christ. The love which is displayed on the cross. The love which is shed abroad into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And the love which God then produces in our hearts as a response, a thankful response to His love for us. And that love is therefore a selfless, self-sacrificial love. A love which spends itself upon others and seeks nothing in return. A love which does not say, what can this person do for me? But rather, what can I do for him? Philemon, therefore, was the kind of person who treasured other people in the church, who delighted in them, who had as the objects of his deepest affection fellow believers in the church of Jesus Christ. We see that in the text. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Saints, of course, are the holy ones. That is the name given to Christians in the New Testament. Not because Christians are smug and self-righteous and pharisaical, that's of course how the world thinks we are, but because God has set His love upon us, and God has set us apart as a treasure unto Himself, and has delivered us and separated us from this ungodly world. And also, He has begun, therefore, to work His own holiness in us by the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people, beloved, are saints. It's not just certain kinds of super spiritual people, as the Roman Catholic Church teaches, are saints. No, all believers are saints. Young and old, young people and children, the elderly, every member of the church who believes in Jesus Christ from the heart is a saint. And Philemon loved the saints. He loved them. Here's what 1 John says. 1 John 5 verse 1. Everyone that loveth him that begat, and that's God, he's the one who begets us, loveth him also that is begotten of him. One who is born again, begotten of God, loves those who are also born again, begotten of God. That does not mean, of course, that Philemon only loved Christians, but his love was primarily directed toward the saints. Moreover, he loved all the saints. He loved his wife, Apphia. He loved his son. Archippus is most likely his son. There may have been members in the congregation of Colossae whom he particularly enjoyed to be with. He loved them. But he loved all the saints. He loved even those members of the congregation that were not his kind of person, let's say. He loved those on a different social scale to him. He was rich and prominent. He was a slave owner. He loved the poor as well as the rich. He loved the men and the women. He loved the young people and the little children. He loved the elderly people. He loved the saints also in other congregations as much as he could know them. He had affection, this Philemon did, for the whole body of Jesus Christ. And you can be sure if you met Philemon and he met you, there would be that instant bond of fellowship and love would develop between you. And that love was not merely hypothetical and abstract. He did not love merely in word, but also in deed. Paul mentions that in that curious phrase in our text, the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Now, we don't often speak about bowels in private conversation, but in the Greek language and culture, the bowels of a person were the seat of his emotions. Think of, we say, gut feelings. Gut feelings. In the Bible, a person's bowels are moved when he feels pity or compassion or some other kind of emotion. Remember the two harlots who stood before King Solomon, and Solomon suggested killing the child over which they were fighting, and the real mother, we read of her in 1 Kings 3:26, her bowels yearned upon her son. And God declares in Jeremiah 31 verse 20, my bowels are troubled for him, that's for Israel. I will surely have mercy upon him. And in the New Testament you have the expression to close up one's bowels, which is therefore to refuse to show compassion on someone. A deliberate hard-heartedness, let's say. Here's Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:11 and 12. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. The idea there is that the Corinthians were deliberately withholding compassion from the Apostle Paul, while Paul was reaching out in compassion toward them. Or 1 John 3:17, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And thus the bowels of the saints are those things which bring distress and anguish upon the people of God. And we read in the text that Philemon refreshed the bowels of the saints. And thus Philemon, you can pick a picture of him in your mind now, Philemon was a deeply compassionate individual. When he saw in the congregation of Jesus Christ that there was a need, that one of his fellow believers was in distress, was bereaved, or was sick, or had some other problem, he would have been one of the first to go and show sympathy to that person. He would do whatever he could to relieve the distress of that person. He would offer a shoulder to cry on. He would visit those who were the shut-ins, let's say. He would help the widows and the orphans. He was there to listen, to show sympathy to those burdened with the trials of life. In fact, if he were not a deacon, fellow laborer suggests in verse 1 he may have been an office bearer. If he were not a deacon, he certainly had all the qualifications and gifts to be a deacon. He would not either simply offer some advice. He would give practical help. He was well known as Philemon, the affectionate, big-hearted, generous Philemon of the church in Colossae. He would give of his time and his energy and his money to help the saints in their distresses. Therefore, you can be sure that this Philemon was not the kind of person who would mistreat people. He was not mean and insensitive toward others. He was not cruel toward his wife or his children. He was not harsh or unfeeling toward other people around him. He did not cruelly afflict his slaves. And therefore, it is certain he did not cruelly afflict Onesimus either. And Onesimus had not run away from this Philemon because of a fault in the character of Philemon. And again, Paul is building up to something. That's why he is mentioning all of this. This is exactly the kind of person who will be open to receiving the request which will come later in this letter. Exactly the kind of person to whom you could make the appeal, have mercy upon Onesimus. Receive him back. Be reconciled to him. Forgive him. Receive him as a brother. You could write that kind of thing to a man like this. Now this love that Philemon had and this compassion that Philemon showed to all the saints was not natural to him. It's not that Philemon was just a very nice person, a decent, kind fellow. This was true Christian love, and therefore it was the fruit of faith. That's why verse 5 mentions in one breath, love toward all the saints and faith toward the Lord Jesus. The object of the faith of Philemon was Jesus Christ himself. Now we do not know much about the circumstances of Philemon's conversion. He was most likely not a Jew, but a Gentile, a pagan. It appears from verse 19 that Paul himself had been involved in his conversion. He says there, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. But he had been converted. He had believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had been a pagan, let's say, worshipping idols of silver and gold. And now he believes in the one true and living God and in Jesus Christ, the only Savior. He believes in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and his atoning death. And by the grace of God, Philemon had been saved and transformed from what he had been to this kind and compassionate and generous man who was filled with faith and good works, who refreshed the bowels of the saints whom he loved. And this was an ongoing thing for him. We read about that which thou hast, present tense, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. And now we see the source of this love. And now we see why Philemon acts the way he does. Why is it that Philemon is the kind of compassionate person described in our text? He does not do it grudgingly because he has to. He does not do it out of fear because he says, well, if I am not kind enough to the saints of God, perhaps God will take away my salvation. Perhaps I must atone for my past sins. That's not Philemon's attitude here at all. It's, as we all know, gratitude, thankfulness. Philemon looks back upon his life and he says, the Lord has been gracious to me. And now it is my joy and delight to show compassion to the saints of God and the people of Jesus Christ. Philemon refreshed the bowels of the saints, beloved, because Jesus Christ had come and had, you might say, refreshed the bowels of Philemon. To refresh there means to cause to rest. The same verb used in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Philemon had been distressed the Spirit had brought home to him his deep depravity and sin. And Philemon had found, through believing in Jesus Christ, rest for his soul, peace and joy and refreshment in the cross of Jesus Christ. And now he has a motivation in his life to show refreshment to others. That's Paul's argument also in Philippians 2 verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, you know how it goes. That's the reason we show compassion, because God has shown compassion to us. The one who has tasted the mercy of God, beloved, will be merciful in return. That's a test for us. Do we do this? When others speak about us, can they say, I have heard of your faith toward the Lord Jesus, and I have heard of your love toward all the saints, and I have heard how you, congregation in Hudsonville PRC, and you individual Christian in the pew, I have heard how you refresh the other members in their distresses. And I believe, by the grace of God, that is true of this congregation. Of course, there's temptations to us. We're tempted sometimes to be cold and indifferent toward the distresses of the other members of the congregation, especially if that will cause inconvenience to us if we are going to do anything to help them. Sometimes we're selfish. Our flesh is selfish. And we say to ourselves, I couldn't be bothered going to visit him or her in his distress. I'm okay. Let him or her, let them fend for themselves. And this refreshment, beloved, must begin in the home. That's really where it sometimes is more difficult too. Because then you're living with your fellow saints and you know them very well. And they know your faults and you know theirs. And that's where the selfless, self-sacrificial love, which expects nothing in return and keeps on giving even when there's no thanksgiving coming toward you, that's when it becomes difficult. Difficult sometimes for husbands and wives to do this. Difficult often for siblings to do this. Much easier to speak to one another in the home with harshness than to be loving and kind the way Philemon was. Also difficult to do this for the irritating people in the congregation. And there are always those who annoy us in one way or another. And also very difficult to do this for our enemies. And if we're not rich in this, there can be only one explanation. We are not thankful enough for our salvation. Now Paul, as he writes this letter, is in prison in Rome. And Paul, and that's striking in our text, Paul takes great pleasure in the report which he has heard about Philemon, and Paul takes the time in this letter to write to him and to tell him so. And this gives us great insight into the Apostle Paul. Paul is aware of what is happening in Philemon's life. Now, of course, the Spirit could reveal that to him directly. But God prefers to use instruments. Paul has heard about Philemon's love, his kind, compassionate dealings in the church, from two people in particular. First, Epaphras, and second, Onesimus. Verse 23 says about Epaphras, he is my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. According to Colossians chapter 1, Epaphras was the one who had brought the gospel to the Colossians, and remember, Philemon is a member of that congregation, and most likely now, Epaphras has brought a report to Paul about the state of the congregation in Colossae. And he has included something about the character and the works of Philemon. Read Colossians. There was some concern about false teaching creeping into the congregation. But there was no concern about Philemon himself. And then there was Onesimus. Onesimus had been able to give Paul first-hand information concerning life in the home of Philemon. And Onesimus was very familiar, therefore, with the characteristics of his master. And it does not appear that Onesimus had a bad word to say about his master. In fact, now, as Paul writes this letter, Onesimus has been converted. Onesimus can now look back and say, you know, I was wrong. I was very wrong to run away from my master Philemon. He was very kind to me. He is very kind to the members of his household. He is very kind to the people in the church. And now Onesimus is hoping that Philemon will still be kind to him, which is why he asks Paul to write this letter of commendation. Onesimus reminds us of the prodigal son in Luke 15:17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go. And now Onesimus is determined to leave Rome, to go back to Colossae, and in his hand he has a letter written by the Apostle Paul asking Philemon to forgive Onesimus. But more important as to how he heard about this is how Paul reacts to the news. It brings great joy to the apostle that there is this love and this fruitful faith in the life of Philemon. It brings comfort to him, and he gives thanks to God for it. Paul, as an apostle, is also a pastor. He has a pastor's heart. And what makes the heart of a pastor glad is to see the churches walking in faith and love and bringing forth fruits of thankfulness. Paul writes in verse 7, we have great joy and consolation in thy love. Picture that for a moment. Paul is in prison in Rome. Philemon is hundreds of miles away in Colossae. Paul hears from Rome about the love that Philemon is showing in Colossae, and Paul has great joy and consolation or comfort in that report. But does the love of Philemon, which he's showing to the church in Colossae, change in any way the earthly circumstances of the Apostle Paul? No, Paul's still in prison. Is the love of Philemon and the practical help, is it directed toward the Apostle Paul? No, again, too far away. He can't do anything practically for Paul. But now, in a very real sense, the love which Philemon has for the saints in Colossae refreshes the bowels of the Apostle Paul. And he's going to give Philemon even further opportunity to refresh the bowels of the Apostle Paul, because he will say later in the letter that Onesimus is his own bowels. And then he will say even later, refresh my bowels in the Lord, verse 20. That's very striking, I say. You're Paul. You're suffering in Rome. You're in military house arrest. You are chained to a soldier day and night. You face trial before the emperor. You do not know what the outcome of that is going to be. You might think that Paul would be too self-absorbed, too concerned with his own interests and problems, to be interested in Philemon and his charitable deeds and love and faith, which are shown all the way, hundreds of miles away, in Colossae. But Paul is comforted by that. And again we ask, is that true of us? When you read the mission newsletters, let's say, and you hear of something happening on the other side of the world, does that cause you great joy and consolation? When you observe the godly marriages in the congregation of the church, and perhaps your marriage is not going as well as theirs, or you see their children, or you see the kind deeds being performed to someone else in the church, but not to you, do you receive joy and consolation from that? Sadly, for many of us, we look at our hearts, we become envious and resentful when people show love and compassion to others, but not to us. We look at what they have, and we covet it for ourselves. It does not give us any joy at all that others are good, except when they are being good toward us. When they spend their time and their money and their resources upon us, well, that brings us joy, but not when they do that toward others. And also with Paul. The very fact that Philemon was washing the feet of the saints some hundreds of miles away, was caring for widows and orphans and all the rest, was enough in itself to fill the soul of the Apostle Paul with joy and comfort. Why? Why? Was it because that caused Paul to have faith and hope that there was still some good in the world? Did that renew his faith in human nature? No, of course. It was clear to Paul, clear evidence that the grace of God was working mightily in the hearts and the lives of the people of God, even while he himself was suffering in prison. Because although Paul's in prison, the word of God is not in prison. The grace of God is not restrained by the circumstances of Paul. And so Paul can rejoice. And all of this, beloved, is very significant from a theological point of view. Paul does not write these words commending Philemon for his charitable deeds, to flatter Philemon, to pat him on the back, to butter him up. No, Paul believes and knows and understands that the source of all of this is God. That's why he thanks God. Verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, or because I hear about thy love and faith. I thank my God because I hear about thy love and faith. Because love and faith, you see, they come from God. They are the work of God in the hearts of God's elect people. That's how Paul always addresses this kind of situation. Colossians 1, 3 and 4. We give thanks to God since we heard of your faith. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. And so go back to the source. Why was Philemon the kind of person that he was? A charitable, loving, faithful, compassionate man, as he is described in our text. We must not say like the Pharisee did in the temple, I thank God that I am not like other men. And Philemon did not do that, and Paul was not encouraging that. Do you believe? I know you believe. Why do you believe? Are you like the proud Arminian who says, praise God, I accepted Jesus? And the answer to that is, why are you praising God for something that you say that you did? Praise yourself and be consistent. No. Praise God. Praise God for your faith. Praise God that He has worked by His Holy Spirit, making you, who were by nature a selfish, hateful individual, that's how Paul describes us in Titus chapter 3, making you into a child of God full of faith and good works. A child of God who shows love to the saints of the church. God opened Philemon's heart. He did that with Lydia as well. God saved Philemon by his sovereign, irresistible, particular grace rooted in the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul's response to Philemon's love was not merely thanksgiving and joy, but prayer. Prayer. And the prayers of the Apostle Paul are very significant as well. If you think about the Apostle Paul and his letters, you will see he was a mighty man of prayer. In every letter which he writes, he mentions that he prays. He prays for churches. He prays for individuals. And this is remarkable as well, because remember his present situation as he writes. He's in prison. He is, as I said earlier, under the watchful eye of a Roman soldier. Most likely he was attached to that soldier by means of a chain, day and night. Where is your privacy for prayer? We say, I have no time to pray. There is no spare moment in my life when I can pray. And when we do pray, our prayers are very general, and often they are self-centered. But Paul prayed. Paul prayed constantly. And Paul did not pray generalities, but he prayed detailed, specific prayers. He had specific petitions for individuals and for churches. You read his prayers in the epistles. Colossians 1 and Ephesians 1, for example, are prayers of his. Very detailed. You could preach a series of sermons on just one of Paul's prayers. So much detail they are be found in them. He didn't fail to pray. He found time to pray. And when he prays, he says in verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Paul did not fail to mention Philemon in his prayers. And verse 6 will tell us what he was praying for with respect to Philemon. And really, it was this. Lord, increase in Philemon what thou hast already begun. That's the substance in verse 6. that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. That phrase, the communication of thy faith, is somewhat difficult to understand, but we can best interpret it this way. The word communication is the word for fellowship, which is the word for sharing or participation. And here we're talking about the liberal and generous sharing which Philemon was well known for. A sharing which showed itself in refreshing, loving, charitable deeds. That's the communication. It's the communication of Philemon's faith. And the idea is that this generous sharing has its source in and flows out of Philemon's faith. And Paul takes note of it. Paul commends Philemon for it. Paul thanks God for it and is joyful concerning it. And Paul urges now Philemon to continue in it. Paul says here, I'm praying, Philemon, that the sharing which comes forth from your faith might become effectual or active or energetic. So Paul's praying for an even more active and energetic sharing of good works and love, which will flow out of an even deeper faith in Jesus Christ. It's not that Paul is worried that Philemon's faith and love are beginning to cool off, although of course that's always a danger in the Christian life. It's not that Philemon has become weary and fed up and bored with sharing with his fellow saints. It's not that Philemon now needs a boost or a kickstart to get him going to do more sharing of his faith. Now Paul means here simply this, I desire to see in thee, Philemon, greater progress in the sharing, the generous, liberal sharing with the other saints, which flows out of thy faith. And the point of it is, Paul is about to give Philemon an opportunity to do just that. He's leading up to, you see, his main request, which is to show the same kind of compassion to Onesimus, who does not deserve it, as he has shown to all the other saints in Colossae. Because you see, beloved, there must be in our lives as Christians a holy dissatisfaction. We must never say, I am loving enough. I have reached this level of Christian love in my life, and I'm not going to go any further. I'm happy to be at this level. We must say, no, I want to grow in love. I want to grow in all of the graces of the Christian life. I want to grow in faith and in love and in peace. I want to produce even more of the fruit of the Spirit. We don't say I'm merciful enough, or I'm patient enough, or I'm holy enough, or my prayer life is good enough now, or my thoughts are pure enough. We never really attain. We always want to make progress. We always want these things in our lives to become effectual and energetic and active and fervent. And Paul explains finally here how that occurs. By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That word acknowledging could be translated as knowledge. By the knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You cannot have an effectual, energetic, communication of love, this sharing, this generous sharing with others, which flows out of faith in Jesus Christ, unless you have knowledge. Remember, knowledge is an aspect of faith. And the more knowledge you have, the more thankful you will be, and the more energetic you will be in the communication of your love. Not head knowledge, of course, not intellectual knowledge as such, but the true heartfelt knowledge of faith, communion with God. Philemon is already active in the communication of his love, which flows out of faith, because he has a good knowledge of the many good things which God has given to him in Jesus Christ. And now Paul says, I want you to know every good thing that God has given to you in Jesus Christ. I want you to understand the fullness of the salvation which God has given to us in Jesus Christ. I want you to see, Philemon, and the saints in Colossae, that you have everything sufficient in Jesus Christ, which, remember, is the theme of the epistle to the Colossians, the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And so Philemon, after reading this letter to him personally, will go to the worship service on the Lord's Day in the church of Colossae and will hear read out loud to the congregation all of the glories of Jesus Christ. Just go home and read in one sitting the epistle to the Colossians, and you'll see we have everything in Jesus Christ. And when we know that, then our love will become effectual. This, beloved, is how Paul begins the letter to Philemon. It's important, as you read the letters of Paul, to notice that. Paul always has, by the Holy Spirit inspiring him, Paul always has in every letter a specific purpose. And everything in his letters serves that purpose, and here especially in Philemon. He is, as I said, leading up to his request, Philemon, show mercy to Onesimus. And Philemon is exactly the kind of person who will respond to this kind of request. He is affectionate by name. That's the name, the meaning of Philemon, affectionate. He is affectionate in his Christian life. And Paul, therefore, can expect more of the same and more good things from Philemon. He can expect, and that's what he's praying for too, he can expect that Philemon will respond positively to this appeal. He can expect an even more energetic and fervent display of love in Philemon's life in the future, and that Philemon will, by the grace of God, show that to Onesimus, who will be an object lesson in forgiveness. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that we have all sufficiency in Jesus Christ. We have all the blessings of salvation. We have righteousness and joy and peace. And we pray that we might be effectual and energetic in the communication of our faith to the saints of Jesus Christ in this congregation, in our families, in our own congregations, and to all the saints of Christ known to us across the length and breadth of this world. For Christ's sake, amen.